You're listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
Welcome, everybody, today. I'm so glad you're here. This is the beginning of our powerful and effective series. It's all about prayer. Everybody say prayer. There you go. I just want to hear, make sure you're awake this morning. We're going to be talking about prayer. I don't know about you, but sometimes prayer is a struggle for me. Anybody ever struggled in prayer before? All right. Most of y'all are way more Christian than I am, so I'm going to have to work a little bit harder. But there's plenty of times I get up in the morning and I try and pray. And I don't know if you've ever tried the early morning prayer thing, but I get up in the morning, try and pray, and then I end up laying before the Lord. Amen? I'm just laying there, just snoozing, man. I'm just out of it. And then sometimes I try that prayer before you go to bed, and that lasts all of 30 seconds, right? And so I'm falling asleep again. Again, I'm not as Christian as everybody in the room today. I just happen to have the microphone, and I just want you to know I struggle just like everybody else in prayer. Prayer is not easy. It's not easy to talk to somebody you can't see, right? I can't hardly talk to my wife on the telephone because I can't see her. She'll call me on the cell phone. She's trying to talk to me, and she wants to talk. They say women use 20,000 words a day, and men use 5,000 words. When I'm on the cell phone, I use about 5 words. And she drops a couple thousand on me, and I'm just sitting there going, And she wants to tell me all this stuff. I just can't handle it. It's hard to talk to somebody you can't see. And so today, I want to start this message just to help everybody understand how we can pray better and be effective. I want to be potent in my prayers. Amen? I want everything that I say to mean something. My daddy taught me how to hunt and shoot guns when I was a kid. And you don't want to waste bullets, right, John? They cost way too much money to waste them. You don't want to just go out shooting at stuff. You want to be able to aim and shoot the right thing at the right time. And so whenever we pray, we want to be able to do that. I'm going to give you a little story today to help you understand what we're talking about today. If y'all could stop throwing trash on the floor, I'd appreciate it. Today, we're going to, let me tell you the story about this little kid. I don't know, but I hate it when all stories start with a little kid and his name is always Johnny, right? I don't think there's that many Johnnies in the world. So today, let's say Barry. Little Barry. Barry was wanting a little brother so bad, right? He wanted a little brother so bad. And what he didn't know, he didn't understand as a little guy, he didn't understand that his mom was already pregnant and was about to have a baby. And so he didn't understand that. And so so Barry told his daddy, he said, "Daddy, I want a little brother so bad." And his dad said, "Little Barry, this is easy. Why don't you go and you pray, and you just begin to pray for the next few months, and you pray every night, and you ask God to give you a little brother, and I bet God will show up and give you a brother." And that's manipulation, parents. I just want you to know that's manipulation for those of you trying to do that trick. And so anyway, so little Barry goes in his room and he begins to pray. Every night he'll get down on his knees. He says, "Oh God, give me a little brother. Oh God, I need a little brother." After about a week of praying for a little brother, Barry is talking to his boys around the neighborhood and he realizes, hey, ain't nobody else praying for little brothers. As a matter of fact, the kid next door, Lance said, that was my neighbor when I was a kid, so that's what I'm using. Lance said this, he said, "Barry, nobody prays for little brothers and gets them. That's not how it works. You don't just pray for little brothers." Now, I don't think Lance told Barry how it actually works. But anyways, Barry comes in, he says, "Well, I'm through praying. I'm not going to pray for a little brother anymore. I'm done with that." So a couple months go by, and Mama goes to the hospital, right? And you know how it is. Barry can't go to the hospital yet, but Mama's in the hospital, and then Daddy comes home, and he gets Barry. He says, "Barry, I got a surprise for you." He takes him to the hospital, takes him to the hospital room. They pull back the curtain, and he brings Barry in, and there's not one little brother, but 2 little brothers. Mama has had twins. And Daddy looks at Barry. He says, "Barry, aren't you glad you prayed?" And Barry goes, "Aren't you glad I quit when I did?" Let's pray this morning. Lord, we love you and we thank you for this day. And we just ask that you would open up this word to us, God. Don't let it be just a book, but God, let it be life and bread to us as we are hungry today and we need a word from you. We ask today that you would bless Les Miles with creativity and wisdom in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Today, I want you to open up with me to Matthew chapter 14. We're going to get started with Matthew chapter 14, one of my favorite stories in the Bible, and it's not the parable of the sower. Everybody makes fun of me. I use that one a lot. It's just so good. Matthew chapter 14, verses 22. We'll start there. And it says this, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone and got scared. And he saw the boat was considerably... It didn't say he got scared, but if I was Jesus, I would get scared at that point. You ever go somewhere and you go off to get alone and you start praying and all of a sudden you look around, you're the only one there? I don't know if you've ever done that before. One time I went in this room and I decided to pray. I said, God, I'm going to give you the first part of my day. And I went to work and I went over into this other room that we had, the youth room at the church. And I'm in there praying. I got the lights turned off. I got the music blaring. And I'm on the stage and I'm praying my guts out for something. And all of a sudden, I hear this voice say, Gabriel! And I almost messed up the carpet right there on the stage. It was going to be a bad day. And it was one of our staff pastors. I thought it was God had walked up in the room. It was one of our staff pastors trying to scare me. And he did the job. So Jesus looks out and the boat is already gone. Bible says it was buffeted by the waves and the wind against it. So shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. Walking on the lake. This is amazing. He is defying the laws of physics. He's walking on water. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. I would be too. It's a ghost, they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. Then Peter speaks up. Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. Jesus said, come. Then Peter gets down out of the boat and walks on the water and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. Let's stop right there for a second. There's a lot of times in our life where we feel a lot like Peter. There's been plenty of times in my life, I'll speak for myself for a minute, when I feel a lot like Peter, I feel like I'm trying to do good. I'm trying to do what God has told me to do. Jesus said, come. Jesus said, do this. And I'm trying the best I can, but I feel like I'm drowning. I'm looking around. I'm seeing wind. I'm seeing waves. I'm seeing everything crash down around me. And all of a sudden, I begin to drown, even though I'm trying to do what God told me to do. You ever felt like that before? You ever looked around and you say, man, I'm trying to do what God told. I thought God told me to take this job. And now that I'm in the middle of this job, my boss is being a jerk. All of a sudden, I'm working long hours. I'm not getting paid enough. I thought God told me to marry this woman. And now she's just nagging me and she's being mean to me. Right? I've prayed that prayer before so many times. We feel like God told us to do something. We get in the middle of it. And then you start wondering, did God really tell me to do this? Was that really God's voice? Was that really Jesus on the water? Or was it a ghost trying to make me drown, right? What am I doing? But I love Romans chapter 8. And that's the crux of our message today. If you want to look at Romans chapter 8, we're going to throw it up on the board real quick. And that way you can see it. I don't know why I call that a board. It's definitely not made out of wood. It's a piece of canvas. Romans chapter 8 says this, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. I'm going to take today for the next couple of minutes, and I'm going to break down this scripture. We're going to pull about four different words out of this scripture today, and we're going to just dissect those words, talk about those words for a second, and then I'm going to let you go. But at the end of the day, this is the one main thing I want you to understand. In your weakness, the Spirit helps you pray. You may not know how to pray. Peter did not know how to pray. All the prayers Peter's prayed his whole life when he's drowning ain't helping him. Right? He's not out there saying, Our Father which art in heaven. When he starts drowning, he just starts saying, Oh Jesus, you know, somebody help me. And I've prayed those prayers before. He didn't know what to pray. He didn't know what to do. He's just drowning. And so today, that's the main thing. If you don't get anything else, if you decide at this point to go ahead and take a nap, make sure you get this. Make sure you get this today. So let's look at a couple of these things. Number one, that word weakness there. The word weakness there, it applies to all of us. It doesn't matter how strong you are, how big of a Christian you are, how long you've been in church. It doesn't matter if you just walked in off the street today and you don't know Christ. You have a weakness. Everybody does. At some point in life, you're going to find yourself drowning in the water. And we all have weaknesses. That word weakness there in the Greek literally means not only lack of strength, not only does it mean illness, but it also means calamity. In other words, it means a bad situation. So the Bible's saying, in our bad, impossible situation, the Spirit helps us pray. In our worst moment, the Spirit helps us pray. And this is the crazy thing about God. I don't always understand God, and I don't claim to understand God. I just try and follow Him, right? I'm just trying to do what He tells me to do. But God, it seems to me, will always put us in these situations where we either fail or depend on Him. Amen. Think about it. Peter gets out on the water. He ain't got much of a choice. He's either going to drown or depend on Jesus. God told Gideon, I want you to go to battle, but I only want you to go to battle with 300 people. You either fail or you depend on God. God sent David, a little boy, to face a giant. The giant's got a spear, he's got a sword, he's got a shield. What did God give David? 5 stones and a sling. God puts you in these positions where you have to either depend on Him or fail, and those are your weaknesses. And here's the cool thing. He doesn't just put you in the position, He also provides help for you in the problem. He provides something to get you through it. The Bible tells you a couple of things about prayer. And these are some scriptures that are hard for most of us. Hard for me. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. Anybody ever read that before? And right now, unless you're praying and have been praying since you read that scripture, you're all in sin, right? Because ain't none of us praying without ceasing. I had a friend of mine one time. He decided he wanted to pray without ceasing. So he would sit down, he would talk to you. And as we're talking, he would be mumbling under his breath. And so I would say, hey, man, how's it going today? And while I'm saying, hey, man, how's it going today? He's going, hey, buddy, I'm doing good, man. Things are going great at work. And then when I start talking, I was like, he was driving me crazy. I was like, bro, you are like super Christian or super weird. I'm not sure which one, but right now it's leaning more towards the super weird side. And so it bothered me. I didn't know what to do. And so finally my pastor, he kept on doing it to my pastor over and over and over. And he said, but I'm trying to pray without ceasing. My pastor said, shut up. Stop doing that. It's weird. Nobody likes that. We can't talk to you, right? So it's hard to pray without ceasing. That's not easy to do. The Bible also says, pray always. We don't always pray always. The Bible says, pray for your enemies. Now, that's one I do a lot, but it's usually not good prayers, right? It's like, I'm praying, God, let an anvil fall out of the sky and crush them, you know. And I probably need to repent real quick. But praying for your enemies is not easy. It's not something we can all do. I'm sure we've all failed at that. But that's when the Spirit helps us pray. He says, in your weakness, in your impossible situation, that's when I show up to help you. So don't worry about it. It's not about you. Today, you need to understand something. It's not about your ability to pray. At the end of the day, it's about His ability to pray through you. It's not about your ability to formulate the right words. It's about your ability to allow the Holy Spirit to pray in you and through you. The Spirit helps us pray. I think so long we try and pray on our own. We try and figure out what to say. We try and figure it out. And so we say, oh, God, that means I got to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning and I got to get down on my hands and knees and I got to put my hands like this. I got to close my eyes. I got to do all the, and I got to pray this and that. It's not about that. It's not about you. It's not about how you do it. I don't teach my kids how to talk to me, right? I mean, it's one of those things. They don't have to do it a certain way. They just talk to me. And the Spirit wants to help you today, and He wants you to understand it's not about you. It's not about your words. It's about His words through you. The Spirit helps us pray in our weakness, in our worst possible moment. The Spirit helps us to pray. The other thing, the other word I want you to look at. Let's throw that verse up there, Kim. Every so often, just throw it up there. Whenever I look at you, just throw it up there. This is the Amplified version. Amplified version means they just made it longer. And it's kind of cool, though. It says, so too the Holy Spirit comes to our aid, helps us, and bears us up in our weakness, for we do not know what prayer to offer, nor how to offer it worthily. The Bible also says, not in this one, go back to the NIV real quick. I can probably read that one. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Let me tell you what that word intercedes means. This is so cool. This will change the way you pray right here. Y'all want, who wants to change the way they pray? I do. This will change it right here. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. And when he intercedes for you, that word intercede there is broken down into three different words. It's a root word with a double prefix on it, right? In the Greek. I don't understand all that. And as a matter of fact, I didn't even write down what the Greek word was because I couldn't pronounce it anyway. But I do know this. The word there is broken down into three things. Super, as in Superman, right? Instill, as in like to download or impart. And then hit the mark. Those three words. So whenever you think about what the Holy Spirit tells you, when the Holy Spirit intercedes for you, what he is doing in you is giving you the supernatural ability. He is downloading the supernatural ability in you to hit the mark with your prayers. In other words, he didn't want you just scatter shooting here and there. He wants you to hit the bullseye every time. And so when the Spirit intercedes for us, he is supernaturally giving us the ability to hit the mark every time. I don't know if any of you ever played video games. I did. Still do every so often. But I remember Contra. Contra was my game, man. Contra was my game in the 80s. And I would play Contra on Super Nintendo, and I remember at the beginning of the game, whenever the screen popped up, I'd press up, up, down, down, left, right, B, A, start, right? And what did that do? That gave me, like, unlimited lives. It was a cheat code, and it was like one of the first games that had this cool cheat code with it, and I could use that cheat code to beat the game every time. The Holy Spirit is telling you, I want you to pray continually. I want you to pray always. I want you to pray with all kinds of prayers, but I'm going to give you a cheat code in that I'm going to give you the supernatural ability to hit the mark every time. You'll never miss. Sometimes I pray and I feel like my prayers are hitting the ceiling. What am I doing? I'm praying on my own strength. I'm not praying with the Spirit's help. So this morning I get in the shower. That's my prayer time. I like to pray in the shower. My wife says it runs our water bill up real high. So I'm in the shower, I'm praying, and I get in there, and I don't even know what to pray this morning. I'm just, you know, like 4:30 in the morning, you can't really think very good. And so I'm in the shower, and I can't even think. I just said, Holy Spirit, today, I need you to help me hit the mark. Will you just give me the words to say? I mean, just help me to pray today because I don't even know what to pray. And I begin to pray what the Spirit wanted me to pray. He intercedes for you, helps you hit the mark. I just talked to one of my former pastors the other day down in Mobile, and he was telling me that he has a friend at a particular denominational church that doesn't really buy into anything having to do with the Spirit, right? That's not where they go. And so this friend went on a missions trip. He's a youth pastor, went on a missions trip. And on this missions trip, they're sitting in a church. They were actually at NYSEM. For those of you that went on our NYSEM, our New York trip, we're planning one for 2014. I want everybody that can go to go. It'll change your life. It's a lot of fun. So anyways, they're on this missions trip to New York, and they're sitting there in this church. And the pastor of the church gets up and preaches, and then when he gets done preaching, I think they were at like some kind of prayer meeting or whatever, he gets done kind of sharing a word, he looks out, and he sees this group, this youth group from Mobile, and he says, hey, this guy, they're from Mobile, this is a youth pastor, he's got something to share with y'all tonight. Youth pastor had no idea he was going to do that, right? But being a good youth pastor, he already had a little thought prepared. So he jumps up on stage, he shares his little thought, and turns it back over to the pastor. When he does, the pastor says this, hey, if anybody needs God to touch your life tonight, this young man wants to pray for you today. He wants to lay hands on you, pray for you. Now you just got to understand what this kid's background was. You don't do that, right? Like, we don't lay hands on folks, we don't pray for folks, we certainly don't speak words over them. And so all of a sudden, all these people flood the altar. And the youth pastor told his pastor later, he said, Pastor, I didn't know what to do. I just went up to people, and I put my hands on them, and I started trying to pray. And whenever I did, all of a sudden, all these scriptures started coming up out of me. I don't know where the scriptures came from. I just spoke them, and whenever I spoke them, the people would start crying and say, that was for me, that was good. He said, and then I would just start praying things, and I would have these random thoughts I thought was random. And I would just have these random thoughts, and I would say them, and it would speak right into the heart of these people. What happened? The Spirit was helping him pray when he didn't know what to pray, when he didn't know what to do. The Spirit helped him pray. I've done that before, man. I've gone in to pray for folks, and I didn't know what to pray. One time I was praying for someone in the church, and I walked up to her and I said, man, I'm going to just tell you something. I don't even know what to pray for you, but I feel like God has put this crazy, just wild thought in my head. Now, it may not be God. I always preface that because sometimes you know me. I'm not all there all the time. So I said, listen, this may be me. I may be crazy, but I feel like God told me to tell you about sea monkeys. I know that sounds nuts. I don't advise anybody to pray sea monkeys over anybody else. But I told her, I said, look, I feel like God has told me to tell you that his word is like a sea monkey in your life. Remember the sea monkeys, the little pills? You dropped it in water and then it expanded into some little animal or whatever. And so I told her that. And I said, I feel like God's word is like a little pill. And whenever it hits in your heart, that it's going to expand in your life. And she said, you know what? After I got done praying, she said, you're not crazy. She said, that is the perfect thing to describe how I feel. She said, because when I was a kid, me and my brother always played with those. And she said, that imagery was perfect for me. I understood it. That was a word from God. So what happened? I didn't know what to pray. I allowed the Spirit to pray through me, right? And it was able to speak into someone's life. The next thing that I want you to notice in the Amplified Version is that in the Amplified Version, Kim, I am making you work today, aren't I? See? In the Amplified Version, it says this. Look at the very end. It says, he intercedes or pleads on our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings too deep. I want you to think about that word too deep for a second. Too deep. Listen, there are some things in your spirit, man, that are just too deep for you. It's too deep for you to understand. And there are times whenever you're like Peter and you're drowning and you're hurting and you don't know what to do, you don't know how to pray, and life is crashing down around you, and there's something deep inside of you. The Bible says in Leviticus chapter 6, verse 12, talking about the temple, it says this. It says, and there should be a fire in the temple that the priest starts and keeps it burning at all times. There is a fire, and that fire is the Spirit, and the Spirit sometimes is too deep for you to even understand. I want you to watch a quick clip here about Michael Jordan, one of my favorite basketball players when I was a kid. I want you to watch this, and then I want to talk to you about it for a second. Michael Jordan, it came out later on that he was poisoned the night before the game by someone putting poison on a pizza. It wasn't just a regular old virus. He was actually poisoned, food poisoning. And he went out and he wins the game almost single-handedly with food poisoning. Why? Because there was something inside of him that was driving him and pushing him and telling him, you can't quit no matter what you feel like. Can I tell you something today? Whenever you feel down and out, whenever you're hurting, whenever you're in your calamity, in your weakness, when you feel like you're drowning, there is a fire inside of you that will push you past that in prayer. When you don't want to pray, the Spirit pushes you to pray. We don't want to pray all the time. We don't want to do all that all the time. But there's a fire inside of us. The Bible says this in 1 Thessalonians. It says, do not quench the Spirit. What does he mean by don't quench the Spirit? He says, don't let that fire go out. Don't let that go out. So whenever the Holy Spirit is pushing you to pray and you're saying, I'm tired, I'm sick, I'm hurting, don't suffocate that prayer. Don't suffocate what God's trying to do inside of you by going back to bed, by hitting the snooze. Amen? There's times whenever the Bible says in Song of Solomon, it says, though my body is asleep, my heart is still awake. That's that Spirit inside of you. One time when I was younger, I was in this ministry school, and I slept on the top bunk. We had three dudes in a room, and I was on the top bunk, which wasn't cool because the fan was really, really right there. Like, the ceiling was real low. And so there's a couple of times I would get up to go to the bathroom, and then you know what I mean? Like, I needed prayer after that. But there was one night I was laying in bed. I was asleep, and one of my buddies the next morning said, Gabriel, what was going on in your dreams? I said, I have no idea. He said, bro, all night you were just praying in your sleep. Like, you were just going nuts, like praying and doing all this stuff in your sleep. What was happening? My physical man was asleep. But my spirit man said, it's time to pray. We still got to pray. The Holy Spirit inside of me said, we still got to pray. We still got to push. We still got to go. There are times when I'm at the gym, and I've gotten to the point now, a lot of times when I'm at the gym, I don't really even listen to music that much anymore. And I know this sounds weird, but I will listen to people speaking. I'll listen to speakers and preachers and while I'm working out. And so I'll be in there working out, and sometimes I will feel this urge. I don't know how to explain it, but I feel this urge inside of me that says, you need to pray. Now I'm trying to work out, and this urge comes up to pray, and there's people all around me, right? Now, I don't just break it down and throw my hands up and begin to just shout out loud. I don't do that because I want people to still love Jesus, right, and not think he's weird. And so I'll be sitting there, I'll be working out, and I'll just be praying. God, right now, whatever it is that's going on, I just pray that you would help this situation, and I just begin to pray as I'm working out. What is that? That's a fire inside, and I could have suffocated it very easily. I could have quenched it very easily by just saying, no, I'm not going to do that right now because I'm at the gym, right? No, I didn't go nuts, but I prayed. I said, God, right now, sometimes you wake up in the middle of the night, it's 3:00 in the morning, and you feel the Holy Spirit urging you to pray for something. Don't hit that snooze. Don't roll over. Don't pull the blanket up over your head. He may want you to pray for 30 seconds. He may want you to pray for 30 minutes. Just give in to what the Spirit wants to do. Let me give you the last thing I want you to know today. The last thing I want you to know. The Bible says the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Let me tell you about that word help for just a second. When I looked up the Greek of that word help, the Bible says it means to literally come alongside, put your arm around, pick up, and walk someone through something. The Spirit of God wants to come alongside you, put his arm around you, and pick you up and carry you through your issue. You're saying, Gabriel, I don't know how to pray for my son. My son's not serving God. I don't know how to pray for my daughter. She's not serving God. I don't know how to pray for my parents that aren't serving God. Let me tell you, you don't know how to pray, and that's okay. Because the Holy Spirit will come alongside you and pick you up and carry you through that issue, teaching you and showing you how to pray and praying through you. I've got one more clip I want to show you this morning. And I want you to see it with that understanding that today the Holy Spirit is calling out to you. And he's saying, you may be hurting, you may be weak, you may be down, you may be out. But just like Peter drowning, there's a hand coming down in the water. There's a hand reaching out for you today, and he wants to pick you up today. He wants to pull you through your issue. He wants to take you through the waves and the wind, and he will not let you drown if you let him. Watch this last clip, and then we're going to pray this morning. Today, as the band comes back out, we're going to close out with prayer. And I just want you to keep that figure in your head right there, that image of Derek Redmond hobbling down the track, hurt, broken, and can't finish. He tried, but he couldn't do it. His dad comes out and puts his arm around him and walks him the rest of the way, crying and weeping. Today, some of you feel that way. Some of you are dealing with issues in your life. You're dealing with family issues. You're dealing with job issues. You're dealing with different things today. And you're saying, I don't even know if I can finish. I feel like Peter and I'm drowning and there's waves and there's wind and I can't breathe and I don't know what to do. And you're looking for a hand. And it's the hand of God reaching down. It's Jesus reaching down to you today, pulling you up out of the water, telling you, hey, I can take you the rest of the way. I'll get you back in the boat. I'll get you back to the shore. I'll help you finish the race. Just lean on me. Let me hold you. Let me tell you something. You got to stop trying to pray on your own. It's not about you today. It's about the Spirit praying through you. You want to be powerful? You want to be effective? You want to see things change in your life and in your world? Let the Spirit pray through you today. There may be some folks today you're not serving God. And you're saying, man, I'm tired. I'm tired of running this race like I'm hurt. I'm tired of running this race and falling down. I'm tired of never finishing. I'm tired. I'm just tired. I'm tired of the battle. I'm tired of the emotional struggle. I'm tired of the spiritual pain. Let me tell you something today. Jesus is here for you today. He wants to put his arm around you. He wants to put his arm around you. He wants to pick you up. Just like Derek Redmond's dad came in and put his arm around and picked him up. That's what Christ is here for today.
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.